Oh my gosh, you guys, it's episode 84, please advise. Just like the year I was born, I'm Molly McAleer. Molls on the internet, you might know me, you might not know me, this might be your very first time listening to the podcast. I've recently become aware of the fact that not everyone knows what the fuck's going on here, and so I just want to kind of let you know what we do. We take your calls. People call this number, 323-450-7408, or they email voice notes or letters to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. I invite on one of my amazing friends, someone that I feel blessed to know in some capacity, or someone that I want you to talk to that maybe I don't personally like. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I just invite people on. And it's all produced by my dear friend, Christina Lopez.
Woo. Hey, guys. How's it going?
So this is Please Advise. You guys, I have something I want to talk to you really quickly about. I want Please Advise to be a content site. I want to... been dreaming on some stuff lately, and I feel like Please Advise Nation is strong. I feel like one episode a week is just part of this. I feel like I also see you guys communicate and join up on Twitter, and it just makes me really happy. So I want Please Advise to be a content site. I want to be able to offer you video, thanks to my friend and former Please Advise guest Richard Rushfield for giving me the pep talk of the century over some ramen a couple weeks ago, telling me to get my ass back on YouTube. You got it, Richard. Please Advise. I want to answer your letters, Dear Abby style. I want to give you tips on things that I'm into, and I want to have a little store where you guys can buy my tie-dyed goods. I think I'm going to do that for you. If that's something you're interested in, I could maybe do that for you. Tie-dyed goods, like t-shirts, pillowcases, etc. Maybe we could even get to the point where you mail me a tie, like a white good, and I'll tie-dye it for you. I don't know how we're going to ensure that. That's something we're going to have to think about on the business end. But I want this to be a lot more. I feel really like... happy when I'm working on Please Advise, and that's always a good sign that it's something worthwhile when you're really happy when you're working on it. So there's that. Let me know what you think. I need to take a sip of my Diet Coke. Hold on. It's the return of a segment we haven't done in a while here on Please Advise. It's called Things I Wrote Down in My Notepad When I Was Stoned.
I wish we had a theme song.
I know, right? Does someone want to write theme songs for us? You guys, these are some things I wrote down. Serena Williams scared the shit out of me before I followed her on Snapchat. I didn't have a grip on her personality, so I unfairly judged her based on her muscles and the fact that she has a sister who could also beat the shit out of me. I feel like Serena doesn't put up with bullshit, and I serve a lot of bullshit. Also, is Venus okay? I think what I'm talking about here is that I really like Serena Williams. Proud of her. Okay. Seems like she's really rides for her friends. She loves Family Guy and Golden Girls. You know, she lets her friends stay over. She parties. Some bar kicked her friend out and she went buck for that. Like, I really respect that. I think that I was just afraid of Venus and Serena because I feel like they'd beat me up. I don't know why.
What? Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Because I've only seen them on the court where they're really aggressive and they're also muscular girls. And I think, and I just am like, they're sisters. They'd like beat me up. Mm-hmm. I'd be afraid of a female wrestling duo in that way too.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of the men because I don't really see two male wrestlers beating me up. I feel like that's a pretty good way to get like, you know, your business ruined sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People wouldn't be into that.
But, for some reason, I more realistically could imagine like being at a party and like saying something stupid and like Venus and Serena just like taking me out back and pounding the shit out of me.
I don't know if I'd back you up on that one.
Either. I know. Honestly, I don't think anyone should. Let them. Okay, so I wrote, Facebook calendar is so good. I know all my friends' birthdays now. I should start checking in advance so I can send people cards. Then I will be a worthy friend. I just realized that like... some days, like every single day of the week, there's something on my calendar. And what it is, it's every person I know's birthday. And it's so cool. I love, and I always like wake up and check. I'm like, oh, yo, send this person a text. And then I'm like, why didn't you just check 3 days ago? And then you could have popped a little card in the mail.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
What?
What are your parameters in terms of like having someone be your Facebook friend? Like, are you like loose with it and you have like a lot, or are you kind of like strict?
Well, so for years I started to, you know, I went to one of the first schools that had it. So like back then you just accepted anyone who added you, but it was also super weird to add someone if you didn't know each other.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Then when I was working at Defamer and like had like kind of like a blog presence, I started to open it up and just like add anyone who added me that didn't weird me out. And then I just like I kind of checked out of Facebook. I stopped really checking. I mean, right now I honestly know I have like something like 700 pending Facebook friendship requests. But a lot of them are people that just go through, like I'll have 120 mutuals with them and I won't know any of our 120 mutuals. Like at some point I accepted someone that just like literally goes through and like friends any D-list comedian that has a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Open micers, yeah. Like people like that.
Yeah.
So, and then also tons of Middle Eastern men. Boatloads. More Middle Eastern men than you could shake a stick at, oh really. Not that you'd be shaking a stick. I'm just saying.
Maybe they'd be shaking their stick.
You know, hey, political. I just wrote Pretty Little Liars. That's all I wrote.
Well,
we're going to discuss it more, I know. So I'll wait, but.
No, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that that would be in your notebook stoned. Like,
Pretty Little
just
Liars.
Pretty Little Liars.
I should be doing a better job of wearing my older underwear when I can. Not every day requires a new thong. Some of these thongs still have a lot of life in them. Some are 6 months old, but I treat them like they're 6 years old. Why am I like this? Okay. And I think this is the truth, though, is that I just go for, like, the new flashy underwear, and I forget about the trusty underwear in the back. That's absolutely fine. Now it's not, I'm not even talking like my period underwear, or like some crazy shit. Like I'm saying like just that is a completely fine, average, like it's an appropriately aged thong. It's not old. It shouldn't be thrown away. There's no signs of death appending. I just don't go for them. Yeah. Why?
I don't know. It's because why do men dump older women? Like it's the same.
No, I know, but then it's stupid because then I wind up with a bunch of thongs who are all, it's like not, it's like buying avocados just, that are all the same, need to get ripe at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just kind of love the idea that someone who's just not very overtly sexual or like to talk about sexual things, that like your preferred choice of underwear is a thong.
Oh yeah. I only wear a hanky panky thong. Well, the reason why is it's not for sex reasons.
No, I don't think it is, but I just think it's like out of all, short of wearing no underwear, out of all the underwear, maybe crotchless panties comes in like at the second place.
And crotchless panties are not utilitarian. Those aren't real. Like those are a gag. That's shtick.
But like, short of that, it's just like, that has to be the sexiest, like sexually overt pair of underwear.
A G-string.
Yeah, that's true.
A pearl thong? What is that doing? What is that achieving?
Well, that was like in an episode of Sex and the City, right?
I found one in my mom's drawer when I was a child. I don't want to talk about it.
I found a male thong in my parents' drawer once when I was a child.
All right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Shorty swing my way. All right. So I wrote, I find Postmates to be really insulting. I paid $45 for a bowl of ramen once, a single bowl. The only people who can afford that are people with 5 million plus in the bank or people who are too stupid to realize they can't afford it. And that's truth. Is that like, it's really only like 20. I mean, I was looking up $2.99 delivery fees this morning, like areas that are, that could be $2.99 delivery fee on top of the price of the food. Only options I had were Press Juicery and Denny's. everything else, it was like, it was going to be, unless I spent $35, like an $11 delivery fee on a breakfast sandwich that came from 40 minutes away.
I feel like Postmates isn't like worth it most of the time. Just because the delivery fee is so, I'm just like, that actually has called me out of my laziness, the delivery fee alone.
No,
I know. Fuck it. I'm going to get it
myself.
That's
what I'm saying.
I don't want to pay $11 for that.
Because you have sense, and I feel like it's really, that's why I feel like it's insulting. I feel like it's in taking advantage of the kids that don't have the foresight to see that, like, that $11.99 delivery charge is not fucking worth it and is, in fact, your breakfast and probably lunch for tomorrow. Yeah. You know, so I it's just, it ain't worth it, kids. Something I will tell you I think is kind of worth it is Instacart, because they carry it to your door. And you can get the delivery fee really low, especially the longer you wait. So if you want something to be delivered from, say, like Costco, for example, like they will bring you a bag of 120 frozen chicken breasts, like a bottle of Tito's vodka, two bottles of wine, a case of water, and a case of Perrier, like to your door. Like, and that's the bomb.
But here's the thing, like I wouldn't use something like Instacart because I genuinely get so much joy out of going to the supermarket.
But what about Costco?
I never go to Costco because it's too much food for just me.
But that's why you put it in the fridge. You think I'm eating 120 chicken breasts on a Tuesday? This is all going
I know
in
you're
the
trying
freezer.
To get like swole, Molly. So it's just like,
I
no,
know.
I'm just
literally,
kidding.
I'm proteining so hard. Like that slut Kathy from Yelp, that protein slut. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, it means you're not following me on Snapchat. Mall's official. There's this huge slut on Yelp who just was like commenting on how much quote unquote protein came in her Chinese dinner. And I had to tell you, like, I know what she meant. What do you think that means when someone puts protein in quotes? There was plenty of quote unquote protein, if you know what I mean.
Someone jizzed in her Chinese food?
That's what I'm saying.
That's disgusting.
I'm saying, yeah. All right, last one that I'm going to introduce our guest.
Okay.
Is Gawker not worth $115 million? Why hashtag RIP Gawker? Also, what does that mean for like the employees? What will be Nick Denton's next project? Is it possible to duplicate that success? Will he hurt himself?
Yeah, I thought it was really weird that people were predicting the death of Gawker, because I'm like, surely he has to have more money than that, or it's worth more money than that.
I mean,
it has so many verticals.
One would assume. I mean, I would feel Jezebel alone.
You got a little piece of bacon in your lap, Molly.
Thank you. I'm eating a bacon glazed donut. Thanks for shining, putting some shine on that. Continue.
Yeah. I mean, Jezebel's worth a ton of money. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not an expert in how much shit costs in media. So, but I don't think that this would be the death of Gawker. And I don't think that this isn't going to be like a long appeals process. Like, there's no way.
I mean, I have to say, though, like, as much as I think it's this whole thing fucking sucks, like, I actually kind of found myself feeling bad for Hulk Hogan last night.
Why?
Because if they really put his sex tape on blast, that's fucked up.
They did.
Yeah. And, like, that's fucked up. And,
it
like,
is fucked up.
It would be hypocritical of me to think that, like, if Gawker ended, it wouldn't be deserved. Because, like, that's fucked up to put someone's sex tape online.
It is fucked up. But, I mean, like, they've built their empire on, like, violating people's privacy like that.
Right. But that's a new – I mean, not the first time they've done something like that, but that's a new breed of – they've really been pushing the envelope the last couple of years in a way that's pretty tacky, I think, with outing that Condé Nast employee. And I'm still chewing this donut, but
sorry, you wanted me to talk longer about it.
I wanted to introduce our guest today. Her name is Katie Sloan. Hi, girl.
Hi.
So you guys, you might know Katie. Well, here's a frame of reference for how you'll know Katie. My former coworker, Sunny Lee, who's on the episode Kmart Spank Spank of Please Advise, is Katie's boyfriend. They've been together for a really long time. They met at an In-N-Out on the way to Coachella.
Yeah, that's right.
And they go to that In-N-Out every year. And I think it's the cutest thing ever.
Sounds so cheesy
really
when you say it
cute.
Out.
That is a really good meet cute, though. Like, very story to tell your kids, you know? Like, we were going – it's like – Our parents met, I mean, it's not quite Woodstock, but it's like our parents met at a diner on the way to Woodstock. Like, that's like really cute, you know?
I have a question. What did you order?
I ordered a number 3, no onions. And I remember specifically Sunny ordered just fries because he was in such a hurry to get to the festival and annoyed that his friends were stopping, who were actually my friends, which is why we met, is through our mutual friends.
Love that. So wait, so what was your initial, like, what was your, the initial thing that struck you about Sunny? Like, right away, did you like him or?
Right away, I liked him as a human being.
Right.
And I thought he was really interesting. And we got to talking and we kind of hit it off right away just as people.
Yeah.
But there wasn't an initial
romantic
yeah. chemistry, I would say. But I would say a lot of curiosity.
Definitely.
And then just things kept happening that kept bringing us together. But that weekend at Coachella, we met up and he tried to hold my hand through a big crowd of people. And I instantly thought, stage 5 clinger.
Right.
And did not continue hanging out with him.
Oh, and then how did you get back together?
We ended up seeing each other, some other music thing, and then he had emailed me a huge list of concerts in LA, and both of us are very interested in the same kind of music. So he said, if you're interested in going to any of these, let me know and we can go together since I don't know many people who like this type of music. And I responded and I agreed with him. I didn't know many people that like that kind of music as well.
And by that kind of music, you mean EDM, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I don't think people at home might be like, "What kind of music? Swing yeah. music?
Yeah,
that was like music?
Jazz music."
I was literally going through like past Coachella headliners, yeah. and I'm like, "Is it Vanilla Ice?
EDM?
Is it like, I don't know."
Yep. And so we ended up meeting up at a show, and we were having a great time. And then confetti poured down the moment that we kissed, and it was just meant to be, I guess.
That's so cute.
That is so cute. It. And I want to like lead in with Sunny because Sunny is by far not the most important part about you. Although he's very lucky to be with you. I read that Tinder, apparently, they ranked like the professions that get swiped on the most.
Uh-huh.
So these are the ones for men. 1, pilot. 2, founder, entrepreneur, firefighter, doctor, radio, TV personality, teacher, engineer, model, paramedic, college student, lawyer, personal trainer, financial advisor, police officer, military. And then for women, 1 is physical therapist, 2, interior designer, 3, founder, entrepreneur, 4, PR communications, teacher, college student, speech language pathologist, pharmacist, social media manager, model, dental hygienist, nurse, flight attendant, personal trainer, real estate agent. So like, I was like, first of all, you're all over the second list. Like you are, you're a special needs teacher. You're getting your master's right now.
PhD, actually.
You're a PhD girl. Yeah. Really? I didn't know that. When did you complete your master's?
2011.
Oh, girl. I have
yeah.
That's huge. So,
which is why I'm not done yet. Like you were asking earlier.
What are you, girl, what are you going to be a doctor of?
Special education.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh my God. That's yep. so exciting.
Yeah. It's
where do you go
crazy.
To school?
I'm in the joint doctoral program at UCLA and Cal State LA.
Oh my God, how hard is that?
It's been really hard, but really also really amazing too.
Katie, I'm such an ignoramus. I had no idea you were going to be a doctor.
That's okay.
That's so exciting.
I'm really excited. It's something I've always wanted to do, so I'm super stoked. But I'm in year 1 of 5, so.
Right. Yeah. yeah. And what is that like?
Because
you're still working, right?
Yeah, I'm working full time and going to school full time. So I work 7:30 to 4:30 are my contract hours. 3 days of the week, I leave early at 3 o'clock to go to school. So I go to school from about 4:20 until 8 or 9 every night, or the 3 days.
Oh my God,
yeah.
honey!
Yeah,
so, and then it's homework every weekend.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty much my life. I tried.
You have to fly home for a baby shower this weekend too. How like do you live your life? And you have a great relationship, but like, how are you not so overwhelmed right now? Or are you?
I am. I am sometimes, and sometimes not. I feel like as an individual, I work a lot better when I'm really crazy busy, and I'm way more efficient when I'm really crazy busy than when I have just work or just something else.
I think I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I wait, I procrastinate like crazy.
Oh my gosh, I'm the worst. Yeah. The absolute worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I only have work and like something else, like I will wait till the last minute to do something else.
Yeah.
So just like in terms of that list, because we do talk so much about like dating on this show and like male female relationships, and you know, interpersonal relationships. What do you think about the fact that like basically most of the jobs for, or the jobs, the swipeable things for women were like, you know, of course there was model that stood out, mm-hmm. but like there was a founder on there, which I think was interesting, but like number one, physical therapist, number two, interior designer. I mean, these are all of these jobs are jobs of people that take care of, a man. And also I think, or imply a caring personality.
Uh-huh.
And almost sometimes I guess a secondary persona, like you're putting your, you have a subject that you're like taking care of and that yeah. sort of thing.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
I honestly think it's probably at the root of, you know, what a man wants. I think it's a caregiver that's going to care for him like his mother probably.
Right?
Right?
Have you had like creepy guys in the past that you feel like have dated you because you have a personality like that?
Not necessarily, but I have dated a few very, very needy men. So maybe my answer is more towards yes. But yeah, I'd say, I don't know though. Generally speaking, a lot of men I've dated have been, or a lot of men I've known, even my friends, have been on the needier side, like in terms of what they want from a woman.
Yeah, yeah. And also too, I think that in your profession, like the immediate word that jumps out at me is like patience. Like you have to have a very high level of like patience, I think, to like learn everything you have to learn, but also about so many different kids with different personalities and managing them all at once at a time. How many students?
And their parents.
And their parents, of course, because they're on high alert,
right,
or like maybe
right.
checked out, which can be really sad too. Do you have more of the former or the latter in that sense?
More of the former, more of the high alert.
Yeah.
Very concerned, rightfully so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember I worked at I got sent to a school for like challenged kids for a summer because my mom's ex-fiance was trying to convince my mom that I had like something really wrong with me.
Really?
And I wound up just being diagnosed with dyslexia, but because I was, you know, fine.
Yeah.
I volunteered to help with some of the more like problem children. And this autistic kid, Daniel, was like my dude. Like there was no communication there. He just like kind of listened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one day I took him up to the art room to go paint because they would never do anything with him. They would just let him like sit in the corner and like read the dictionary.
And I think you find that a lot in special ed, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's like, you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. It makes him happy.
Well,
but like, if he wants to like, you know, if he also is willing to go paint, like let's take him up to the art room and get him to paint.
Give him some opportunities.
So I had been told Daniel was on a really strict diet and like there was lots of things he couldn't eat and lots of things that can't be in his system, like no matter what. And for some reason, I guess I just wasn't thinking, and they were slicing up big pieces of watermelon in the art room and handing them out to the kids, and I let him have one. And the next day, some teacher went ballistic on me and was like, you're feeding Daniel other foods, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, of all things, like
but
fucking
watermelon.
Like literally, like, I mean, I think watermelon personally, I think it's disgusting. It's not my favorite fruit by a long shot, but I certainly thought it would be one of the most conflict free.
Yeah, I would
fruits.
Probably assume that also.
But I can't imagine how scary that is to deal with something like that at home and then to finally have to hand your child over to someone when you've been doing it all yourself.
Definitely.
And know the routines and know how your child, and then also
routine is so important to
so important.
Yeah, to kids in general. But it was really interesting. I was reading a scientific study that found out that like there might be a link between autism and the bacteria that's in the kids' stomachs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like food has a really big can have a really their diets can have a really big impact on
on their behavior.
That's interesting. That's probably true. I mean, you were saying before this that a lot of kids are gluten-free at your school.
Yeah, a lot of them are. Mm-hmm.
What are the other dietary restrictions that you see a lot?
Gluten-free, no sugar.
Kids can't bring peanut butter sandwiches to school anymore. A lot of kids.
Yeah, a lot of schools do that.
Yeah.
The school I work at actually does not do that because there are no peanut allergies that are so severe.
I want my kids to go to a peanut school. Like, I'm just going to say that. Like, I don't want my kids' enjoyment of peanut butter to be restricted to weekends.
I mean,
I'm going to start shoving peanut butter in their infant mouths so that they get used to it at a young age.
Peanut butter and jelly is a staple of school.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Or even I bought the best thing ever. I think you actually, you like sweets too, right?
I do. Okay. I do. I'm trying to be better about it, but I do.
I actually have gotten really good about it because I stopped denying myself. So like I will go to World Market with my writing partner. And actually this is very Sunny behavior too. Because Sunny was always my candy buddy at Two Broke Girls. But like I just go and like we get like our little bags of gummy bears. And like because it's not the only treat we're going to have all week, I don't eat it in one sitting. I'm like over it. I don't care that much. I have 3 boxes of unopened Girl Scout cookies in my freezer just because I know I don't have to have them. I can have them, but I don't have to. So I guess what I'm saying here is that I went and bought marshmallow fluff. Do you remember like a fluffernutter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was like one of the things that like my mom wouldn't let us have in the house.
Right.
But I, because she like poo-pooed it because, yeah. You know, she's a food snob.
Of course.
But like other people had it in their house and I wanted it always.
Well, we had very bizarre contradictions in our food rules. So like we could have Lucky Charms on St. Patrick's Day, but every other day of the year, like such trash was not allowed in our home.
Really?
But for some reason we were allowed to have at the beach house only. My grandmother would buy white bread, not Wonder Bread, but like Pepperidge Farm white bread. And we were allowed to have fluffernutters at the beach house.
Oh, I remember. What is the fluffernutter? Is that fluff and peanut butter?
It's a fluff and peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, okay. Oh,
babe, I'm like, if you don't know what a fluffernutter is, I know exactly what I'm going to do with this thing of fluff. It's in the garage of my new house. I'm like, when I have my new house, I'm going to invite one of my friends over and we're going to make hot chocolate with like fluff. I'm really excited.
I've never had one, but that sounds delicious.
Girl, you got to get it. You got to go to World Market, get the fluff. Don't sign up for the Explorers Club. The 15% off is
too late.
I'm already
too late.
Oh, you're locked in.
Yep.
Wait, what's your favorite snacks like thing at World Market? What do you get there?
Oh, well, my favorite tea is the PG Tips always, mm-hmm. And you bought them for me a while ago. The Smarties.
Oh yeah,
all of the English candy.
I love those.
The mini gummy bears.
Oh, Haribo. I love those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the little gummy bears are so good. And also there's this new candy called Twin Snakes.
Uh-huh.
And like one of the snakes is sour and one of the snakes is sweet.
What?
And, like they're twin snakes.
What?
And they're like attached. Yeah. They're fucking fun to play with. They're fun to eat.
Ugh.
I like the blue and red ones. Yeah. They have them at World Market. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Well, I've been trying to be so good about sugar. Sunny sent me this article about how bad sugar is for your brain.
Yeah.
And he sends me a lot of articles about sugar, and we both love sweets so much, so it's really hard for both of us.
Yeah.
But that one in particular really resonated, I think, now because I'm in school. I'm like, I really need my brain to work well.
Yeah.
So I was trying to, like, eliminate a lot of sugar from my diet, but it's been really hard.
You hitting it with the omega-3 fatty acids?
No.
Yeah, that salmon, that fish oil
pill will
hook you up every day.
That's what.
Take that.
Sunny's been giving me some other supplements. He sets them out for me every day to take.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Supplements are the bomb. Okay, so let's take our calls.
Hi, Malls. Okay, so here's the thing. I think I'm pretty horrible at Tinder because I actually give people my number, like my actual phone number when they pressure me for it. And I think like I don't know what to do. And I give people my phone number and I think it's just a bad move. And I just wonder, since you have the, you're like the Tinder queen of the world or whatever, or you understand Tinder more than I do. Like, what should I do? What should I say when these dudes, like, ask me for my phone number? Like, I don't know. Should I, like, I don't know what to do. And, as you can probably tell, I'm on one. And the sad thing is, I'm 29 and I'm from, like, Michigan, like, from Ann Arbor area. So, like, life is cool for me, but, like, I just want to know how to deal with Tinder, and I just need some advice from the master. So if you can help me, that'd be great. Thank you. Love you. You're amazing. Love you, Christina. You're beautiful. Bye.
Oh, my God. It's so funny that you called about this, because you literally reminded me to check into my Tinder.
Thank you for calling me beautiful, by the way.
I know, right? You're so cute. Hold on, let me just remember what my number is.
I straight up deleted my Tinder earlier this month.
Okay, so this is what I do. It's so funny you should mention. So, girl, I just like give them my number like ASAP, because I find logging in and out of Tinder to be really annoying.
Why do you log out of Tinder?
Like, I just mean, I just, like, I forget to go check the app. Like, I have other business going on my phone. So, if, like, and then if someone's interesting, then they can stay unblocked. But, like, the second they get weird, they just get blocked. I don't care if someone has my number, if I'm just going to block them anyway. I've given people my numbers and then immediately realized it was a mistake and deleted and blocked them.
Yeah, I was going to say,
convenient for me.
If you get really uncomfortable about it, you can set up a Google Voice number and just use that to give out to people.
Yeah.
And you can have that redirect to your phone. So it might be a way, if you want to avoid having, like, if you don't want your number out there, that might be a way to do it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I don't know. I just think that we're all kind of out here with our asses showing. This is what Tinder is. And yeah. You know, just like embrace it, man. Embrace the weirdness. Like, accept that this is where you are in your life, and that, you know, if you have pretty good intuition, you know when you're talking to people what their intentions or deals are. Someone's like repeated, like, you shouldn't be doing this though because you're feeling bullied into it. That's kind of
indicative of what the future might hold, right?
Right. It's like exactly. Like, why is he bullying you? B, why are you succumbing to bullying? And C, like, don't you just maybe genuinely want to give some of these guys your phone number?
Yeah, just don't engage if you're not, like, if you're feeling bullied into, like, you're not obligated to, like, do anything just because someone swiped right on you.
Right.
Absolutely. All right, let's take our next call.
Hi, Malls. My name is Cassandra. I'm calling you just asking about a question. My sister and I have been really close most of our life. We've just done everything together. She's a couple years older than me, and we're in our early 20s. And lately, we've been separating, like, further and further from each other. She moved into town to where I live when originally we used to live, like, 6 or 7 hours apart. So anytime we would talk, it'd be, like, on the phone, complaining about shit like our jobs or boyfriends or whatever. But now we live incredibly close, and now our relationship is totally transformed to where I'm busy with school and work, and Jenny is just busy with school. And we just have totally split apart. And I don't know, I know that you're an only child, but I don't know how to deal with, like, growing apart from your sibling, because I genuinely feel like we get along, but our interests are not the same. We don't have the same anything, I guess. And I genuinely, sometimes I don't want to hang out with her, but I feel like I'm obligated to, but I don't really know what to say to her when we're together. And it's really strange for me because we used to be incredibly close, but now we're moving apart and I don't know how to deal with it and let her know that I only want to hang out a couple times, like, a month rather than once a week, or more than that. Anyways, I don't know an easy way to communicate to her, because she doesn't feel the same way I do, and she thinks that we're still best friends. But in my mind, every time I hang out with her, I'm just I just feel this totally, like, total separation from us and who we used to be. I'm a totally different person. I've completely transformed, and I'm about to graduate college, and she might start college, and she's 23, which is awesome, so I'm super happy for her. But we're going in two different directions, and I just have no idea how to let her know I don't want to hang out as much and let her know that, I don't know, even if I need to tell her we need to stop hanging out, I don't even know if that's like something I need to say out loud, because she doesn't really take any hints, because I've left a couple. Random question, please just give me a call back, or not a call back, but a response, I guess. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so you're right. I actually do not, I don't feel like I know this specific relationship well enough. I am super, super sister-like close with my cousin Fiona, but we also can go weeks, months at a time sometimes without speaking to each other. And it's never like a personal, it's always just understood. It's like no big deal. We'll talk soon. But I'm going to turn it over to you guys just with one final thought. I thought, you know, me and Fiona anyway, our relationship is really like, I got something to say to her. Not only does it not bother me to have to say it to her, but I just like bluntly say like, what the fuck's going on? And I thought that that's kind of like the benefit of having known someone your whole life. What do you guys think? You both have siblings.
What kind of sibling do you have, Katie?
I have younger siblings. I have four younger sisters, two younger brothers, and then an older stepbrother and stepsister.
You have a shit ton of siblings.
Shit ton of siblings, yeah. And then I also have a couple best friends that have been best friends since I was super little, so they're like sisters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of advice would you have? I just have my older brother, so go ahead. You can go first.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a really uncomfortable point to get to realize that you have turned into a different person or grown apart a little. And it changes everything that you are used to in your life. But I think that it's healthy, and that's just kind of part of growing up, and it happens to most people. And you just come into your own, and that's okay if it's not completely parallel. And, you know, personally, I don't think you necessarily have to outright say like we can't hang out anymore, but I think just organically you can stop hanging out as much, have other things to do. You said you have different interests, so you could be, you know, participating in those interests while still, you know, she's your sister, so she's always going to be there, but you know, I think you can just organically kind of go your separate ways.
Yeah, I think there's something to say like to like Molly's point where it's like she's known you your whole life. Like you should, there should be a comfortability factor.
Like
talking
she has
about
seen
that.
You naked so many times.
But like, I also understand that kind of apprehension because you don't want that person to get hurt, and they are your sibling. I have an older brother. When we were really, 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 really little, we were really close, and you know, he would do things like make me eat soap, and I'd be totally cool with it. I'd be like, yeah, I'll eat soap, and I'll get sick, and like, it's for fun or whatever. And then like, he got a little bit older and wanted to hang out with his dude friends, and like, yeah. I was just kind of like on my own. and then in high school, he actually dated one of my friends. I went to my prom, but
And that was, like, a big deal for you. I remember you saying time, like, that was, like, because, like, you kind of are blowing past it now. I don't know if that's on purpose, but, like, just take a beat. Like, that was a really big dividing
it was still,
thing
yeah.
for you, kind of similar. Yeah, and it still brings up shit for you. And I think that's really kind of speaking to what you can even have long-term differences.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
Really dislike something that someone did, especially with family. I mean, that's the whole thing with family is, like,
it was more
you all are all together because you're related. Yeah. Like you would never pick each other, but you want to be with each other because they're the people you've known your entire life.
Yeah.
Who know you the most.
Yeah. And the point that I was trying to make was that like I wasn't mad at him for going to my prom. It was just more of a bigger embarrassment thing for me. Yeah. And that actually caused like a huge chasm where it was a point where I started moving away from him and like leaning on him as a sibling. And just trying to be my own person and discover who I was. So we weren't actually talking on a regular basis, like from when I was 18 until 28, you know. And then I moved to LA, and you know, you can go through this period of becoming your own person. That's natural. You actually need to do that to know who you are.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. Sorry. I was just thinking that, you know, it sounds like you're growing up. And of course, you and your sister mm-hmm. were very, very close. You guys lived in the same house together for at least 18 years. Like, you guys are gonna be super close. Yeah. But like in life, like, you know, you go to school or you move to a new city, like, you know, it wouldn't serve Christina to stay in LA and to have her best friend still be her brother who's across the country with a wife and a kid right now. Christina's had to find really good friends here that she leans on, like family. And since you have interests that are different than your sister's, and you guys, again, will always be sisters. You'll always be in the same room on Christmas. You can mm-hmm. always do like a sister's weekend. You can do whatever it is. But it's normal to start to build like your family, like yeah. the people around you, that
the family that you choose.
Exactly.
The family that you choose. And
that's not a forsaking of the family you have.
No, you know? But you absolutely need to do it because you need to cultivate your own personality and you need to cultivate your own sort of like ways you think about the world.
So that someday you can have your own family.
Yeah. And it makes you stronger to be able to rely emotionally on other people outside of your family.
It does.
Absolutely.
But to circle back to like this whole overarching story that I was telling about my brother's relationship and I, we've actually gotten closer in the last couple of years as he's gotten married, as he's had a kid, and as our parents have both dealt with health issues. You know, there's been some stuff going on with my dad, and you know, my brother is the one who's been able to keep it real with me. And he's like, hey, this is what's happening with dad. And we like form a strategy together and we like talk honestly about how we're feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And that's actually brought us closer. So like, you know, whatever you're going through right now with your sister, you know, don't brush it off. It's something that's like happening and it's going to be permanent. And like right. you guys are just growing apart. Right.
Right.
You know, forever there. You know, you come into this second stage of adulthood where you're like, OK, right. I'm an adult now.
Right.
I'm going to deal with this person. And you know, you actually lean on each other because your parents are getting older and you realize that like you're all each other has. Right. And there's something really beautiful about that because mm-hmm. like my brother's my biggest cheerleader now, you know?
Yeah.
And I love his kid to death. And like, he's such a great dad and I love my brother.
Oh, Christina, I love you.
So yeah. So don't think it's permanent. You're just trying to becoming your own person.
Like, and who doesn't want to be in the Lopez family? I'm like dying for them to adopt me. Adult adoption's a thing.
But yeah, I mean, like, just have faith in the future that, you know what, your sister will be someone that you might lean on again, whether it's for motherly advice or to deal with issues with your parents or something like that. But
or
it's
like
totally
if you
okay.
get, like, a tampon stuck way deep inside of you.
Yep. Who's going to be the one that's going to dig it out?
Yeah.
Who's exactly. going to be the one to dig it out?
Yeah. You know, you need to call up your sister and say,
you're not just going to lube up a pair of tongs.
No, this is a family affair. All right. Next call.
Hi, Malls. Love you. Obsessed with the pod. First time caller. I have a bit of an issue. So I met a guy and we've been talking, dating, etc. Added each other on Instagram. And unfortunately, I am obsessed with the activity page where I can see what everyone I follow is liking on Instagram in real time. And it's just gotten kind of dark on multiple levels. But in relation to this guy that I'm talking to and dating, he's just consistently liking, like, Instagram model pictures of, like, fat, naked asses at, like, 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. And, like, that's totally fine, but, like, I'm kind of judging him. And to add to that, I also see him like pictures of, like, non-Instagram models, like regular people, regular girls from like 17 weeks ago, which I mean, seems like a pretty deliberate and calculated thing to do to get someone's attention. And again, like not my monogamous committed relationship boyfriend situation. So he's clearly like well within his right to do that. My question is, do I have a right to judge him based on this? And furthermore, is there like any context in which I could bring any of this up to him without being completely insane? I kind of feel like it's insane, but I just kind of want to know your perspective. Thank you, and please advise.
I'm not a fan of like judging him for being into that, but I am a fan of you making a judgment. And I think that the judgment call I personally would make would be that a guy who is spending his time following girls for like to look at them like that on Instagram when he knows people can see that as opposed to just like, you know, a personal jack off, like web tab or whatever. Like, I don't know. I think honestly, like, I think he's either unaware of the future or he's shameless. And either one, it's like, I think it's a little bit suspect. I think it smacks of poor character to me, just in the sense that I don't think this guy will ever be ready for a relationship. It doesn't seem like someone who should really even be dating. I know you are not monogamous, but I think like someone like this should be really open about the fact that he's at a point in his life where he's like an ass models on Instagram. And like, you know, maybe he's not good for more than a 2-3 night thing. I mean, I would be interested to know, actually. Because I have heard this before. I did have this happen with a girlfriend where she was dating a guy and then went through his Insta followers and saw that he was following like a bunch of porn stars. And like she'd go over to their page and he would like write like, "You look so beautiful today," like comments on. And this was a guy she was in a relationship with. And like, it doesn't matter. I don't care if it's in a relationship or not. The guys who leave like, "You're so fucking hot," like on porn star and like Maxim model Instagram.
You know those kind of guys.
Those guys are gross. Okay. Yeah. And so they're just categorically gross. No one's doing that because they're such a nice guy. I've never seen a happy, well-balanced guy I know leave a comment like that on the internet. He might say something to his friends. He might even pass the picture around via a link. Okay.
He might take a screen grab of it.
But yeah. He is not going to like sit there and be like, "You look so beautiful. I love any more pictures of you in the red suit." Like, I mean, it's just disgusting. So I would move on from him. I wouldn't tell him why. I think maybe if he pushes, which I don't think he will do because it seems like he's pretty easily distracted. I think that if he does push, I would say to him, you know what? Like, your choice of Instagram activity just creeped me out. What would you do? I mean, do you think it's ever okay for a guy to do stuff like this?
I think guys probably are just going to do stuff like that. But if you're going to be dating them, I don't know how serious she is about dating them right now.
Right.
But I would say I would agree with you that it's definitely a judgment call on her part to make based on that information. But personally, I wouldn't. No matter what it came down to, I probably wouldn't say it's because I noticed that you're liking all these pictures, because that would then imply that you were Insta trolling.
Right.
But I might say like,
I mean, it's not trolling if it's on her activity page.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, you're right.
Which, by the way, I do
if it's
wonder
popping
who's
up,
on
that's
the
true.
Activity page. I always wonder, I'm like, who are the freaks that are on the goddamn activity
no,
page?
No, you're actually, that's yeah, that's true.
And I think it might also be something like, a lot of times people assume that other people use an app the way that they use an app.
Right.
And so since that guy probably never looks at his activity page, he probably thinks other people don't look at activity pages.
Right.
And so he's like, that's why he's liking things like that with reckless abandon.
Right.
In the middle of 2 p.m.
But the fact that he's also following those accounts, it seems like some of them aren't even like amateur models. They're just like pretty girls who take selfies.
Yeah, no, actually, I retract what I said because you're right. I don't use the app in that way either. So that's why
I think that what you see is what you get. You're not going to start dating a guy and then the second he starts dating you and is in a monogamous relationship, like he's done looking at porn. No, like right. He's still going to look at porn. And while I've joked about finding the word discretion disgusting in the past, like I just think that it's,
it's my
in our
word.
Best interest to show a little bit of discretion unless we are like attempting to be overtly sexual people. Like it's in our best interest to use a little bit of discretion. Maybe don't leave the YouTube tab open. Maybe don't leave the iPad propped up on the pillow on the bed. Maybe don't, you know, like have a separate account for your butt pics. Maybe don't follow them on the same account that people from work can follow you on. That's just my thought.
Oprah uses this Maya Angelou quote a lot, and I'm just going to repeat it here. When people show you who they are, you believe them. Otherwise, you're going to pay for it in the long run.
Boom. That's a good, please advise classic. I love dusting off an old Maya Angelou quote on here.
Oprah loves that quote.
That was one of our first. We would jam on that in the beginning. It's, yeah. By the way, that is the truth of all truths. It's the most universal advice possible.
Yeah. I forget it a lot too. I need to be reminded of it.
Uh huh. I actually said that to someone breaking up with them recently. Not the one I read on the show, but the one some guy did that thing that I hate, where he said, "Oh, I'm like," he's like, "I'm the worst, by the way." Oh yeah. And I hate it when men like say, like, "I'm a loser," like, "I'm the worst." Like, I hate it because it means it's true.
Yeah.
Because like no confident, secure man is going to volunteer that he's a loser.
Yeah.
So I made the mistake of dating him. And like, I told him that I said, my gut instinct was to believe who you were when you told me you were a loser. And I said, and I doubled back on that. I said, and that was my mistake. I said, I know better than that.
Yeah.
You know, fuck you. Anyway,
trust your gut would be the other one on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust
your gut. So yeah. Everything happens for a reason. Girl power. Yeah. Okay. So since we have an expert in the house, and this is a subject that not just I'm muddled on. And to be honest, I'm not necessarily muddled on it as much as I know that there's certain things I don't know, certain jargon in the special needs community, which I'm sure if that's not the right jargon, you will correct me on it in a minute. In that world, the main one being the word retarded. And that word is, I'm from Boston. It's a huge colloquial saying where I'm from. I know it's not unique to Boston by any means, but it's kind of like, it's just a word you grew up saying and it was totally fine. Adults said it, you know, teachers would say it. So it wasn't that, like, it wasn't that big of a deal. Now, I have now come to think that it's so inappropriate that there's something funny about it, which I also know is wrong. But I know that if I feel this way, I feel I'm pretty like liberal, aware of shit, etc. I know if I feel this way, there's probably people out there in Please Advise Land who are not up to date on the PC terms for the words that we use all the time. Like at the beginning of the podcast, I said autistic kid. Katie's going to correct me here and she's Just go over some of the big ones that you notice people missing in day-to-day life all the time.
Okay. So I threw up in my mouth a little bit when you said that word.
Yeah.
Because I know it was so immersed in our culture growing up, and so many people did say it. But in getting into the community and being a special education teacher, one of the first things that you're hounded with is just – the language that you use surrounding your reference in terms of talking about people with disabilities. So the R word is definitely banned in my eyes. I actually got thrown out of the Laugh Factory one time because I stood up to a comedian who was like just slamming with jargon that was inappropriate and offensive.
Right.
And while I recognized I was in a comedy environment and that it was supposed to be funny, it just triggered something in me that just made me so, so frustrated. And it's because there's been a long history of
When was that, by the way?
It was like 5 years ago.
Wow.
No, 4 years ago.
Wow. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So we definitely don't say that word. We use person first language in the community. And some people, you'll hear some people don't really care. You can say autistic kid and that's fine. And they prefer that. But generally speaking, we like to use the person first. So the disability doesn't describe the person. So it's a person with autism, the person who experiences a disability. I have ADHD, so I'm a person with ADHD. I'm not an ADHD person.
Right.
Right. And that's just kind of the general rule of thumb.
That's really interesting. That's really actually good to know, even just for like writing, to know that. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, because there's so much more that comes along with every individual human being than just their label.
Yeah.
And many, many people have more than one label, right? Or many more than one disability. And, you know, if we're going even further, then rather than labeling people, we might just say they really prefer routines and sometimes they might do this and this and we might not even refer to the label.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And is that for their protection of not feeling that? Why wouldn't you not refer to the label at all?
Because it's just generalizing. It's basically okay. just saying all kids with autism, for example,
do
are
this.
The same.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. It's a it's like a blanket diagnosis.
Exactly.
Not, okay.
Which
it.
Isn't the case. Everyone's different. Everyone experiences
completely.
Disabilities differently.
Because there is such a wide spectrum of
right.
autism too. I actually
right.
was tested for it twice.
Were you
probably
really?
I told you that. Yeah.
No, you did not.
No, like I called my mom up one night. I also called her up and accused her of giving me fetal alcohol syndrome after Googling a bunch of pictures of kids with fetal alcohol syndrome. And that was like probably the only thing I've ever really done that's upset her. She was like, I probably should have called you Mooley because all I drank was milkshakes. She's like, she's like, you were a baby made of dairy. she's Mooley. but yeah, no, I, you know, was up late Wikipedia-ing autism and, you know, I think that a lot of there's a lot of things that fall on the spectrum that a lot of us can relate to for a variety of reasons. Like, for example, I think ultimately what the things that I related to more, refer to my dyslexia and my anxiety. So like sometimes my like ability to kind of just like, I just don't know what to say in a situation. That's because I'm anxious. It's not because I don't know what the social cue would be or something.
Right.
I know what it is. I just can't bring myself to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it totally does.
But I called my mom and I was like, Mom, like, did you ever get me tested for autism? And she's like, you're not autistic, Molly. And I was like, Mom, but how do we know? Like, did you get me tested? And she was like, yes, you were tested twice. And I was like, okay. So because I did have a learning disability growing up, which I think is also what makes me I think I feel a lot of shame about having had a learning disability.
Yeah, right.
So I think I'm adverse to like keeping up on the lingo. And I appreciate also, I want to just say this too. I think that what you're doing right now is really important because you're teaching people, you're not making people feel defensive, which I think is really good because I think that a lot of times when people are so well-versed on something as like that's like kind of progressive in the sense that this isn't commonplace language for people anymore. People aren't really aware of the terminology unless they themselves have someone like that in their life. And even then they
still
might not
know.
Right. Yeah. So, and you're of course getting your doctorate in this jam. So you know it all. but yeah, I think that, a lot of people are afraid to ask questions about something delicate because they're afraid they're going to get yelled at. So I think that it's very cool that you're explaining it like this. I just want to compliment you on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, I definitely, you know, it was really embarrassing like growing up and having to like have to go to the tutor in the back of the room for certain things or to like have that once a week where you get called out of the room and like have to go sit in another office. And
yeah,
I don't even know what we would do. I think like we would just do like puzzles or they'd be having me like write sentences to try and figure out what my learning disability was because I wasn't diagnosed until I was 16.
What did that... The school that I work at is very unique. So I just from your perspective really quick, what did it feel like? I know you said it was embarrassing getting pulled out of the room, but what did it feel like?
It felt frustrating because I knew I wasn't stupid, but I assumed I must be because no one else really had to do this. Yeah. And like I definitely, you know, my personality was the same my whole life. So like I was just this like kind of like oddly creative, like unafraid kid who also like really struggled academically. But like I would always be like coming up with the best like you know, I wrote better than most people, but I had a really, really, really hard time writing because I couldn't read until I was like 8 years old. Actually, it's so funny. Catherine Chloe Cahoon, you know what? While we're doing this, I should say, I don't think I can lol at Catherine Chloe Cahoon anymore because I was going on her YouTube the other day and she did a video about how she grew up with dyslexia and how she overheard someone say to her mother, like in a very kind, compassionate way, like you need to understand that like she's probably not going to graduate high school. She's probably not going to go to college. And like she graduated with honors from Vanderbilt. So like, you know, I really was like, I actually like wanted to reach out to her and say how touched I was by it because like, you know, it's really hard to, especially when you're, She said she did the same thing that I did. We're like, no one could figure out what my learning disability was, so I had to figure out everything for myself. And so I locked myself in my room with a book called Fudgemania by Judy Blume. Uh-huh, and I read, I like didn't leave my room till I had read Fudgemania. And I like got it that weekend. And I was 8 years old. And by then I was like reading on a high school level because it was like it all clicked all of a sudden. But it was same thing with Catherine Chloe Cahoon. So I feel like now I feel like I still want to lol at her videos, but I have a new respect for her as a woman because she came forward with that. But yeah.
That's really cool.
What are some other things that people might not know about?
Well, so I was asking you that question because luckily we're in kind of a critical time right now in the area of special education.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of research that's been done on how it makes people feel when they're pulled out of the classroom. Is that what's best for kids? What could it look like that wouldn't do that, that wouldn't be detrimental to their emotional well-being?
Right.
Because it is. It really is. And I've seen that time and time again with students. And I feel so lucky that I work at a school that's fully inclusive. So I have students on my caseload that have a whole spectrum of disabilities and capabilities and from moderate to severe and, I mean, mild to severe. But they're all in the general education, the regular classroom, 100% of the day. So we don't do any pullout. Our speech, our occupational therapy, my service, which is the special education teacher, all of that is push-in. So we find times within the day, if I'm going to work with a student on reading, I'm going to come during reading time. And we're going to work in a natural environment on that skill.
Yeah.
Which is proven to be the most effective way for
that
students.
That definitely sounds ideal. I mean, I was one of, you know, probably like 10% of the kids at school that had like noticeable learning disabilities that were not in more of like a specialized program. Because Lexington High School also had like, it was the five surrounding towns and it was like the ultimate special needs program. And the other thing that I had that was like, I guess I would say a blessing and a curse was instead of going to regular study hall or getting a free block sometimes, when my senior year I had free blocks, but they would send me to the tutor's room, which would be like me and like the six other kids who had anything from behavioral issues to really severe stuff to like severe physical disabilities, but complete mental clarity or like, I mean, the whole range. And then it would be like me. And I met a lot of really good friends through that because I found the other kids that were like me that kind of just had a very like low grade, undiagnosed, like totally workable, like learning disability. But it also, I always felt like everyone in the room was getting ripped off because it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to just clump people with such different issues into one room. I don't know. I mean, is it safe to call it an issue? I felt it's an issue.
It's a huge issue.
But is saying issues okay? People with issues?
People with issues. I would say, challenges.
Challenges.
Yeah.
See, I don't
know. I was going to say disability. Some people have problems with the word disability too.
Yeah, because they do because you want to talk about ability and they're capable of so many things. So why focus on the disability. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the field is evolving and there are, you know, it's personal preference too, based on the individual, what they like to be called. But having kids all in one room, that is a challenge. And, California is actually one of the worst states for the percentage of time students with disabilities are in their general education classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And something you might not know, which I didn't know until recently, was that it's actually been in the law since 1975 that students with disabilities be educated with their non-disabled peers to the maximum extent possible with accommodations, services, and supports in place. However, that's not what we see happening.
Yeah. That's what it was like when I was growing up. I mean, definitely.
Yeah, my sister has cerebral palsy and she, you know, was always in the trailer at the back of the school, right. You know, in the special day class and didn't have much exposure. And now she's trying to, you know, she's 22 and she got a job through like a work program at Kaiser. They said
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. But then they said she couldn't do it because she, I don't know, X, Y, and Z, because she didn't have exposure being surrounded by her typical peers
right.
her entire schooling.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's so interesting. Katie, thank you for coming on and sharing all that stuff with us. Is there anything else we should know about before, anything close to your heart before? Oh, okay. Christina has a question.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you, since you feel very strongly about the R word, how do you, what kind of arguments do you use to kind of change people's perspectives on that and like try to change their minds? Because sometimes saying that people who are of the community don't appreciate that word and we should respect that doesn't work sometimes.
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, whenever I hear it, I kind of come from a place where I acknowledge the fact that my situation's different. And if I hear it, I'll say something like, hey, I know this is kind of sensitive for me. And I might be like, I don't even know what I say. You know, like, I know I might be unique here, but that's, you know, that word is kind of offensive
when you
to the
hear
community.
It, it's so emotional for you. You just kind of shut down. You don't really bother to explain it.
No, I do explain it. But I acknowledge where they're coming from a place of unknowing.
Ignorance. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so, I know you probably don't know that this is the case, but that word is offensive to a lot of people. Would you mind using a different word?
Right.
Yeah. But then afterwards, I feel silly kind of sometimes almost saying that because.
And I think in most environments, people are really receptive to that and also feel like ashamed of being like, oh God, I'm really sorry.
I know.
I think people don't aim to offend.
No.
I think that people also like, especially in social situations, have bad habits that, you know, and that doesn't make it okay. But it is interesting. It's like almost like thinking like someone could say the N-word because there's no black people around.
Right.
Do you know?
Right.
And like it's
right.
It's
or I mean like if they're older from the South, they're like they can make the justification that like, you know, they've always said that word.
Right.
You know, and it's always been a part of their vocabulary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do always get, you know, if I do bring it up, which anytime I hear it, I do definitely say something just because it does mean a lot to me. But afterwards the person is always like, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel horrible. And every time I'm just like, no, there's nothing to be sorry about. You didn't know. It's totally okay. I'm sorry if that was awkward.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that, yeah. I mean, I think that this is like one of the many things in life. Like, there's so many things that we're slowly changing.
And it's always changing,
and
which
it's always
is the hard
changing.
Part. Yeah.
I mean, there's just like I can't even pick one thing. We were talking about I did a mini episode about Marcia Clark, like, and just like how many, you know, how much change there still needs to be for women, and how much change there needs to be for people of color in this country, and how much in the world, and also immigration, and also, I mean, there's just like literally everything needs help right now, and this is just another area that I think this is like, please advise good place to be talking about this sort of thing.
I was at a
where it's a dialogue and not necessarily like, no.
I think it has to be, you know, it's just a conversation.
Well, so it's not something that I think people are really comfortable asking questions about, because especially like this is a perfect example because you're a teacher, so you can come from, you know, not just you have people in your life personally, like this is something that's very meaningful to you, but like you're educated on the subject, so you can speak about it from a very knowledgeable place as well as feeling for the cause very much. So that's I think it's really cool. Feel very, very, very glad you came on. Christina, do you have any other questions?
Nope, that's it. We can take the next one.
Okay, great. I wish that more people had called. You guys, if you have more questions about this sort of stuff, we can have Katie back on the show anytime. If there's people in your life, if you want to know how to handle a situation, Katie can give advice. 323-450-7408 is the number you call for all voicemails, or you can email a voice note to askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. Let's take our last call.
Or alternatively, if you have advice on this, you can also leave a voicemail and we'll play it at the end of the show.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. And let's get a running list going of things like this that we maybe want to talk about. If there's something like this that is like of need to you, I know my friend Caitlin Aber, right, who I mentioned in the Marsha Clark episode, she's currently working on a project about getting women into like the differences for women in the workplace. And I think that she's going to be really great to have on as guests in the near future to kind of start that dialogue going a little bit more on here. So yeah.
I had one question. I was at a meeting with a bunch of university faculty, and one of the first questions that they asked, we had to go around and introduce ourselves. And so it was introduce yourself, and then
I hate that game.
I know. I do too. Instantly.
Like, tell us something
anxiety.
Interesting about you. And then just like,
But the second question was, what pronoun do you like to be referred by?
Oh, they asked you for your preferred pronoun.
They asked for a pronoun. And I really liked that. And then I...
That's very popular with the younger generation Y. Like now you, that's something that you have to do. You can't just assume that someone's a he or a she. Or,
exactly.
You know, they could be a they.
But then I was wondering, is there a neutral pronoun that's more appropriate these days? Like, am I not up to date on the,
I think,
you know?
Some people use they, them. Or,
they, them?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay.
There's a couple of them. There's probably a list somewhere in Tumblr, so I feel really bad. Like, I'm speaking like an expert. I don't know. But, there's a list of preferred pronouns that you can probably find somewhere.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I don't have a preferred pronoun. I'm pretty down with whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take our last call.
Hey, Malls. It is your BFF on the internet, Drunkle. I don't know why I opened with that. That's so dark. I was just listening to the Katie and Schwartz episode. Anyway, that's like a terrible opening to that. My question is about Pretty Little Liars, and I just need to know, what are your thoughts, feelings, and concerns on the new half season? I'm very enthused. I love an emoji. I think it's like a good, if you're a loller, like I feel like you just also love emojis. Like it's just a fun little wink or like a little tongue. If you're just getting like nasty, I don't know. Like I can't, I'm trying to think of an emoji where I've been like, oh no, like I, there's not one situation. I've even had guys send dick pics with like emojis, and I'm kind of like, ugh, but never just like, oh no. I think if they wanted to be threatening, they would use like punctuation, like a lot of periods, hit them with some K's. Like, I don't understand the emojis. To me, that's like the number one hang up. Two is like the angst drama level that everyone's at, even if they're grown ass adults, which everyone is at this point now. Like Veronica Hastings, she's like, Caleb, you leak the emails, get out of my house. Like, it just seemed way, too dramatic for someone running for Senate. Like, Jesus. Like, I feel like she'd be like, that wasn't okay. Like, you'll have to issue a statement. Like, even on Veep, where she's the fucking vice president / president of the United States, when she made one of her, staff, like, be the scapegoat, it was just more like lulls. It wasn't like, oh my gosh. I feel like the drama, dramatic acting, I should say, is taking the front seat while like the A drama is just like, honey, what is going on? I don't really know. Like, of course I'm still watching every single episode, but I just don't understand really why I still am. Like, I feel like I've invested too much. Like, I feel like I'm in a toxic relationship right now, where it's like I've put in so many years and so much time, as well as listening to, like, Bros Watch PLL and occasionally Cabernet and A, if I've also had some Cabernet. But, like, I don't understand why I'm still with this person, who has continually not only mistreated me with plot holes and what have you, but
Well, the season has ended since you called, and so a lot of stuff has happened. I'm going to kind of blow past some of the stuff, like the Hastings election, because the show did too. Veronica Hastings did win state senator, but yeah, she's state senator.
Wait. So Veronica Hastings is like poor man's Olivia Benson. Is that
yeah?
Yeah.
She's state senator now. But you know, Look, Pretty Little Liars really like showed its hand in the finale this year. I'm going to go ahead and spoil. You can turn this off if you don't want to spoil. Jessica De Laurentiis has a twin sister named Mary Drake. Mary Drake gave birth to Charles De Laurentiis. They adopted Charles when she gave birth to him in Radley. Got it? So
the Allison, mom was the twin.
Yes. So Allison thought that her mom was haunting her, but really it was her sister trying to... it was her mother's sister trying to scare Allie and make her think that she was going mental. Now, Allie has also married a doctor, the doctor who was Charlotte's doctor in the mental institution, not Radley, the one that she went into after it was discovered she was A. All right?
Okay.
So she, Allie decided to marry this doctor, okay, in a quickie ceremony. And then it turns out that the doctor was using a series of prosthetic masks to spy on the girls and also haunt Allie as Officer Wilden, the dead cop.
What?
So Allie believes she's insane and signs herself into a mental institution, much to Emily's chagrin, because like Emily has no, I'm sure you've heard of the de-gayification of Pretty Little Liars. People have been talking about that.
Wait,
the last couple days. Like Emily doesn't have a love line this season. And so people feel that for like on a show, considering that this season has been so ship heavy, like it's just been like fucking jerking the shippers around. Like that's like, they're trying to get that final juice as much as they can. They're saying they really dropped Emily. I mean, but like, to be honest, Emily's never really successfully had a great romance storyline on that show either. It's just interesting that she's a lesbian.
Who was the other lesbian swimmer that she was with?
Paige.
She had that.
Yeah, but it's not interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, was interesting at first when Paige was a fucking psycho who tried to murder Emily.
I remember that.
But yeah, so... Anyway, moving on.
Oh, but then Paige, so Emily, it got boring after Paige embraced her, like, inner lesbian.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then actually, like, became the dominant lesbian. She was, like, kind of dom. Yeah, Paige was kind of a big mama. But anyway, point is, I feel that the show has really stepped into a whole new realm. And like, we just kind of have to accept we're watching, like, a Passions level type soap opera.
I fucking loved Passions so much.
Like, we're talking about a world where people are realistically able to rip flawless prosthetic masks of people they know's faces off and be like, the doctor was like, okay, like, so basically Allison like signed her share of the Karasimi group over to Elliot, and it turns out Elliot, her husband, and it turns out the doctor was like the only man who ever loved Charlotte. Now, by the way, I want to say something kind of progressive that PLL is doing is that apparently for like a lot of men who knew Charlotte was trans kind of were into her.
Yeah.
A lot of hot straight men were loving Charlotte, which I think is actually really probably the closest thing they've done to do the trans storyline any favors on this show. So... Yeah. At least she was popular with the fellas. Okay.
So are you still as passionate about it as ever? Or are you just like kind of now? Like you're going down with the ship because I've been here for so long.
No, I'm not. I'm never going to be. I'll be so sad the last day of it. I'm going to watch it to the end faithfully. Yeah. But it's like, I know what it is now. Like it's shown its hand. Like that's all I'm saying. Like I get you. Like, we're going to crazy town now because I think they know they have one season left. And for 5 years, this show got such a bad reputation of being, like, the biggest cock tease in television. And so, like, I think they're trying to really, like, hammer home some shit for the end of – for the final season. They did a lot of setup. Hannah might be dead. She's probably not. But, yeah. So, anyway. Those are my feelings about that. Katie, ever seen the show?
I think once or twice. My sister's favorite show.
Didn't draw, yeah, no, it didn't hold your attention?
It did hold my attention. I think it was just, I just didn't keep watching it.
Yeah, it's so good, dude. Yeah. It's probably better off.
I feel
it's
like
so good.
I feel like you said in the past you weren't a fan of the emojis, and this caller was asking about your emoji opinion.
I mean... It's just, you know what? Here's the thing. And I'm going to bite my tongue because I it's almost like a necessity when writing accurately writing millennial characters now is that you have to include technology. But technology looks so painful on television. It always does. Yeah. And so it's like you can't win because like even in the most tasteful movies, like even in like the Facebook movie, like just like seeing like an Aaron Sorkin's movie, like that was it's kind of painful to see like that shit on the screen. It's like weird to see a text message float up on the screen. I saw another movie that just did that.
Oh, I kind of like that. When it's like right beside the person instead of showing the phone. I kind of like that, but yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. I mean, I don't like it. It's just, there's no other options. The options are getting more and more limited. And one thing I hate is when people have to make up like a face place.
Oh yeah. No, you know what's the worst? Law and Order SVU were, oh, yeah. They were so that? Terrible about it.
They were the worst on it. They were like My Square. Like, it was so bad. Her My Square page. All right.
What would be like their fake Snapchat? Like,
Snapback.
Right? This girl's crime was just posted all over Snapback.
Yeah.
Why can't we see the evidence? It's already gone. Directed by Speedweed.
Speedweed. My favorite SVU. Speedweed is a real person, by the way.
No, I know. I think it would be interesting to have him on the show.
Okay, well, I'll see what I can do. Katie, thank you so much for being here with us today. You're so delightful. You're so nice and pretty and sweet and knowledgeable. You're can't believe you're gonna be a fucking doctor. Girl.
The long road. Thank you.
Are you
gonna
dress
me.
Differently when you're a doctor? Are you gonna wear like suits and stuff?
Oh god, no. I hope not.
You're gonna be like a chill doctor.
Yeah, I should hope so.
Are you gonna correct people when they say your name? You're like, doctor.
No,
because I would.
just my closest friends.
Okay. You're so cute. Okay, where can people find you online, and do you want them to find you online?
They can find me online, Facebook, Instagram. I don't really do the Twitter thing, although I feel like that's so weird that I don't. But
you and Sunny are always doing fun things and going to fun places, so you should definitely follow you on Instagram, Katie Sloan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's just the way her name is spelled. We'll link to it. We'll make a little linky link.
Yeah.
You guys, thank you so much for listening. You guys can find Please Advise on iTunes and SoundCloud every week. That's soundcloud.com/pleaseadvise. Guys, if you're listening on iTunes, please make sure you're subscribed to us. Those subscription numbers really help. It also really helps when you go on and leave 5 stars and a review. Helps people find the show, makes mama more rich, helps more people, more fun, interesting calls. You think about it, you guys. The more popular something gets, the more crazy people like it. And we want crazy people. Send your crazy friends to us, the mentally unwell, please. Just knowing that this is under the comedy vertical and you cannot touch us legally. It's not our fault. Anything that happens, it's on you. You guys, at Malls, Malls Official on Snapchat. Please Advise on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just go look for us. We're also on Tumblr. And look for that new Please Advise website soon. We're going to be working on it. Maybe not too soon, but hopefully soon enough.
Hopefully soon enough, yeah.
All right. Bye.